Pardon the interruption, but I'm Dan Lebatard. Wobon has the day off, so I'll be bringing some South Beach to the show today.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Just don't take off your shirt, okay?
You should see what I've got going on underneath this desk, Tony.
Nobody wants to see any of that.
It's
nobody.
Leopard. It's leopard.
No, nobody wants to see this.
Tight.
Oh, God. What is it, a Speedo?
Imagine it. Imagine
it. Are you wearing a Speedo?
The imagination is so much better than reality.
In your case, absolutely. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Gino, Keto, and Dano.
Bammo!
How great is that? But we begin today with Butler, the smallest school in the Final Four from one of the least regarded conferences. If Butler of the Horizon League wins the national championship, is that a game changer for college basketball?
I think it's really cool. I just think that we have to start already thinking about this team differently, Tony. If their resume was the same, if they were wearing Duke uniforms and everything about their story was the same, their schedule, the number of wins in a row, we'd be saying this should be the favorite. This should be the favorite in this tournament. The only thing holding them back is this mid-major rep that's no longer valid.
I don't think they're a mid-major, and I don't think they're Cinderella. If they were Cinderella, they wouldn't be favored in the national semifinals, which they are. I mean, the analogy that I would make is to UNLV. When UNLV was winning the national championship and almost winning the national championship, they were not a mid-major. They're a powerful program. Butler's been ranked for 3 years in the top 20. Mm-hmm. This year they were preseason number 11. They are a powerful program. It doesn't mean they always will be, but they are right now.
But here's the thing, though. No mid-major has won since UNLV. I understand all the coaches in these mid-majors who are pointing. They're insulted by this tag. They're saying to themselves, hey, there are a lot of teams in the big conferences that would love to be. Northwestern, University of Miami. You don't think they'd love to be Gonzaga?
No, I think Gonzaga and Xavier and Butler right now, and these things float, but right now they're not mid-majors. They're major programs. This is not football. Football, there's tyranny at the top. Basketball is a more fluid sport. There's no tyranny at the top.
Let's move to women's college basketball, and the king of UConn sounding persecuted because no one roots for his evil empire. Listen to this.
I don't think there's one person at ESPN or in the NCAA or anywhere, any place, that is jumping up and down saying, I hope Connecticut wins the national championship. Not a single one.
I didn't know ESPN spoke in one voice, but if it did, I figured ESPN would want him to win, seeing as how his team and Brittany Griner are the only thing anyone outside of the diehards care about. Can you soothe poor Gino, please, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I said on this show I want Connecticut to win. I want Connecticut to win by 40 or 50 points like they've been winning because I really admire excellence. Their second team could be ranked in the top five. How did their first team get so good? You got to play against great players in practice. They are really, really good. I don't even know why he would say that. Why does he think no one wants them to win?
Well, first of all, he's got to rally this whole – I mean, he's got to give them some kind of motivation. Every time they
play – the motivation is to keep winning.
Yeah, but every time they play, the other team's got 12 points at the half, 13 points on the half.
Because they're that good.
And that's not good for the sport, though, Tony. Like, how is that good? I mean, you've got to have some sort of drama, surprise, upset. You got to have some sort of possibility of
a threat. I think it is good for the sport because they're the team that you make an appointment to see. I think the Yankees were good for baseball. I think the Celtics were good for basketball. I think in its day, Notre Dame was good for football. No, I don't think this is a bad thing at all. Maybe next year, maybe you want to see them get beat, but not this year.
You only make an appointment to see it if it's the last 10 minutes and it's within 40 points.
You mentioned Brittany Griner. I want to see that game because I want to see Gino have to coach because he's got
to
move his players around because she's 6'8". Imagine how good they would be if Elena Deladon had stayed there. They'd win by 80 points.
He doesn't have to coach. He could just sit there with a parasol in my leopard skin Speedo and do nothing.
I can't. I'm speechless.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I did that to you. I'm sorry I did that to you.
We move now. You should be sorry to America for suggesting they want to see that. We move now to Tiger Woods. On the same day that Vanity Fair came out with yet another expose of Tiger's sex life, we learned from Philip Bondi of the Daily News that Augusta National will hold Tiger's Monday press conference in a small interview room and that Augusta National will select which reporters are present because of the limited space in that small interview room. Danny, you're a reporter. How would you feel if you were frozen out of the Tiger press conference?
Well, Augusta doesn't care how we feel. I love that Augusta does whatever it wants to do and that Augusta is stuck in the 1940s and they do all this stuff. I mean, if they don't care about a woman's issue, about women in the country club, they're not going to care about whether some reporter gets his feelings hurt on this spot. This is them being them. They view it as charming, quaint, and some others could view it as antiquated.
They are protecting Tiger. I'm sure Tiger is blessing this. It makes it much easier. Nothing's going to come out of that press conference. All Tiger's going to say is either I've answered that already or that's a personal matter, and they will yell golf questions only. That's why it's one of the reasons I think Tiger can win the tournament, because everything in the walk-up is like rose petals under his feet.
And he's handled something well before this, Tony. In between March Madness and health care reform, he gave 5 minutes of access, 5 minutes where he didn't limit the questions to two groups of reporters. And going forth, he can now say, hey, I've already answered that. I never have to answer any of these questions again.
That's exactly right. I didn't know that he took a position on health care. I'm glad that you.
I'm saying he came out and said the day of healthcare, he decided that was the day when it would get buried by the rest of the news.
You know, I must have missed that because I was shopping for my own leopard skin Speedo at the time.
Let's glide from Tiger to Turkoglu and Toronto's decision to send Hidu to the bench for the rest of the season after giving him $53 million last offseason. This after Hidu claimed to be too ill to practice and play, but not too ill to party in Toronto's Yorkville district. You going to kill him, Tony?
No, I'm not going to kill him. I'm going to point out that the coach of Toronto is a man named Jay Triano. Do you know who he is?
No.
That the new guy starting over Turkoglu is Sonny Weems. Do you know who he is?
I've heard of him, yes.
Really? Is he a great player?
Is it Weems or Weeks?
I have no idea. But okay. I know that Hidu Turkoglu is getting $53 million from Toronto. I know that he's a terrific player, and this seems to me like Toronto cutting off its nose to spite its face. They got this guy for 4 more years. They've already benched him for 1 game. How much more do they want to do this guy?
It's the only thing in the era of the guaranteed contract. It's the only thing you could do to get a player's attention is to shame him publicly. I don't know what they'd be surprised about.
But going forward, what is the point in that? They lose games without him, and they win games with him, and they are in jeopardy of not making the playoffs. Chicago could catch him.
They've been a 500 team because he hasn't been as good as anyone expected him to be. I don't know why you'd be surprised by this, given that he chose lifestyle over winning when he chose Toronto, and now he's choosing lifestyle over winning while in Toronto with $53 million.
I think he's a better player than the guy they've got out there. The next night when he came back, they beat Charlotte through no small contribution to Turkoglu. So, I mean, I don't get it going forward. You're going to get rid of him? You're going to dump him?
No, you bench him, embarrass him, and hope it motivates him.
The Miami Dolphins have made a request to the NFL to start their afternoon home games at 4 p.m. rather than at 1 p.m. to avoid playing in the South Florida heat. Dolphins owner Stephen Ross says he understands the perceived advantage his team receives by playing in the heat, but he points out he's doing this for the fans who have to come and sit in the heat. Danny, you live in South Florida. What do you think of Ross's request?
It's fan-friendly, but not team-friendly, not record-friendly, not competitive-friendly. It's an odd position to take, although not odd for him, given that he wants all the J-Lo's in the stands, and he's got that orange carpet, and he's interested in the entertainment aspects.
Right.
It's nice that he's helping fans, Tony, but the heat absolutely is one of the few advantages, atmospheric advantages, that a team has in the National Football League, and he'd be removing it.
First of all, there's no chance this is going to go through. The NFL has put Chicago on in December on Monday night. It was the coldest I've ever been in my life. They put Buffalo on at night, so they're not going to do this. Correct me if I'm wrong. Don't people move to Florida because they like the warmth? I mean, aren't they used to the sun and the heat?
Miami has started for years, Tony. They've started 8-1, not recently, but 8-1, 7-2.
Because of this advantage.
At least in part because teams come down here, and by the fourth quarter, they are done because, it's merciless. I mean, nobody wants to sit in it, never mind playing it. Nobody wants to sit in it.
But aren't they used to it, and aren't you saying it is an advantage and he's taking this away?
The Dolphins are used to it, but imagine Green Bay coming down here. Imagine Green Bay coming down here in September.
Can't J-Lo get a note from somebody that she could take her seat in the third quarter or something like that?
Why do you think I'm dressed like that underneath here? Because it's so warm here.
Because you want to get arrested. Let's take a break. But coming up, Patrick Harrington tells us if he considers Tiger the Masters favorite.
And could going to the Patriots actually be bad for Tim Tebow's career?
So you're dressed like the Zohan at the beginning of that movie, huh?
I can't believe I've never seen you speechless before. I've never seen...
The Masters is just a week away, and we are pleased to welcome back to the program three-time major winner, Padraig Harrington. Everyone is talking about Ernie and Tiger, but you have finished eighth and third in your last two tournaments. Do you feel a little bit forgotten in this whole mix?
No, if I am forgotten, I'm happy to be forgotten. You know, it's any major tournament, it's going to be a long week, and it does help if at the start of the week you're not the one that's the center of focus. You know, the main thing is that by the time you get to Sunday, you're still fresh and strong, and it's easier to be that way if, you know, Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday of a tournament is kind of a bit more low-key.
You, Ernie, and Phil are playing in the Shell Houston Open this week. What kind of advantage is that in preparation for the Masters? Is it one?
I wouldn't be here if I didn't think it was. I definitely need to play the tournament the week before. If I was at home, I'd start, you know, tinkering with things, maybe get a bit caught up in my technique. Well, when I'm playing a tournament, at least I'm going to be focused on my scoring, which is probably going to be the most important thing when you get to Augusta.
Well, Tiger is going in cold, yet odds makers make him the favorite. I've said on the show a number of times, I think he's going to win. Are we underestimating how difficult it is to win a golf tournament?
If it was anybody else, I would say to you, yeah, you can't go into a tournament cold. You've got to have some competitive warm-up, and certainly I would need competitive warm-up. But Tiger has proved in the past he doesn't play that much, that he's able to come into tournaments cold and win off the bat. Interestingly enough, though, if you look over the years, when he does come into tournaments cold, he kind of starts slowly. You know, his first round tends to be a feeling round, sort of a 72 sort of thing. So it would be interesting to see how he feels first day out. But he certainly won a few tournaments coming in cold. So I don't think it's... I think it's reasonable to see him as favourite in the event. But, you know, his actual... whether he wins it or finishes top 10 or whatever is a little bit more in doubt.
Coming in cold is one thing, Patty. Coming in after the months that he's experienced is an entirely different thing. Can you imagine sort of the drain? How do you keep that away from the golf course? How does that practically end up invading your play when you're dealing with something we've never seen before coming in cold?
Well, the interesting thing is he obviously was dealing with it for a number of years, and, you know, what was going on outside the golf course must have been, you know, throwing his golfing life out of balance, and, you know, obviously, there's a lot of stress and pressure coming into it now, and you know, from the interviews we've seen, he obviously has looked a little bit stressed. I don't know how that's going to affect when he gets in the golf course. I know when you're out in the golf course, all professional golfers, that's what we do. We're comfortable out there, and when he gets back in the course, you know, he's going to feel like a champion. He's going to feel like a star again when he's back out there. He's the number one player in the world. He's gotta feel good to be out there. So I think it's gonna be, it can only do him good getting back on the golf course. It will only make him feel better about himself and bring more balance to his life.
Ratings are down the last few months. Has it felt any different out there for you?
No, not necessarily for me, because I tend to do my own thing and I tend not to be looking around me. I do realize that the ratings are down, and this whole thing, it will actually, in the end of the day, will probably increase ratings, because I know from people back in Ireland who have no interest in golf, they've been watching his interviews and following everything that's been happening. So while it's obviously disappointed a large portion of his fans, there's a huge portion of people out there who were never golf fans, who are now interested, who will be tuning into the Masters to see how it all pans out. So while there is, you know, there'll be more people there'll probably be more people who love him and more people who dislike Tiger. But the fact is, there's going to be more people watching what he does, every minute of what he does. He's a bigger star going forward. If maybe that star is rated in, you know, Hollywood terms.
We'll get you out of here on this. There are a number of people with three majors right now. There's you, there's Phil, there's Vijay, there's Ernie making a comeback. How important is it to you to get a fourth and separate yourself from them?
Yeah, that is something I'm aware of. You have Tiger out there in front, and then you have four of us who've got three majors, and it would be a big step to get to the fourth major. It would give you a little bit of a jump ahead of the other guys, and I'm very much aware that the fourth major gets me into a slightly different league.
Thank you so much for joining us, Patrick. You're terrific as always.
Thank you.
We're taking a break. When we come back, how will America react if Duke wins it all?
And Philly fans will be blank if the Eagles don't trade Donovan McNabb. What's the word? Next.
Seriously, I could listen to him all day.
We asked him too many Tiger questions, Tony.
I could listen to him all day. I really could. Maybe there'll be a Patrick Harrington. As an English major, I have an impressive vocabulary. Watch as I eviscerate and bludgeon Levitard with it. Word up, reality, what's first?
Duke winning the title would make America blank.
Would make America fissured. I'm not sure there is such a verb as this, but what I'm getting at is the notion of totally dividing the United States of America with a deep gash. Duke right now is Howard Cosell. They are the most beloved and the most hated team in all of college basketball. You want to start a fight in a bar, just mention Duke. I like Duke a lot, but this would fissure the country.
I would like to fissure my word. Can I do that? I'd like to be in the spot between queasy is one word, and vomit as the other word. Can I just put a slash between them? And like in the spot in between there, that's what it would make America do. Upset. In some instances, it would make them upset, upset the stomach, and then in some instances, it would make some states throw up.
Next.
VZ, Quamit, Levitard, any of those words work. Philly fans would be blank if the Eagles kept Donovan McNabb after all of this.
They would be agape after all this. I mean, they have to believe that McNabb is going to be traded. The Eagles have not only not pulled back on this, they seem to be encouraging every team in the league, if not the Canadian League, to make an offer for McNabb. I know there's a lot of Philly fans who boo McNabb. They're going to realize at some point what a terrific quarterback he was. I don't think Kevin Cobb is better than McNabb now.
This is 100% accurate, and I know it to be so. The word is belligerent because they're always belligerent. So if you trade them, they'll be belligerent. If you don't trade them, they'll be belligerent. They will be belligerent under all circumstances. So it's a perpetual state of mind.
Well,
it's
then not something anything, that's gonna change. You'd fit that word with anything having to do with Philadelphia. Next.
The Patriots drafting Tim Tebow would be blank for his career.
It would be frustrating. He'd go to a great team. He'd go to a great coach. That coach would use him in a creative way in lots of different positions. But he wants to play quarterback. And he ain't playing ahead of Tom Brady. Not for years, if ever. So I think that even though he'd be on a great team, Tim Tebow would personally be frustrated by this.
It would be womish, like being in the womb.
Womish.
The warmth of embryonic fluid.
Not Amish, but womish.
He would be birthed slowly, and then he would be womish. In Belichick's bosom. Yes, it would be very protected. It would be very safe. It would be very good for him, very slowly. And they'd
womish.
Use him as running back and wildcat and creative. Womish.
Not wombat. Womish.
Womish.
Next.
That kind of creeped me out, Levitard.
Yeah.
It just did. Okay.
That creeped you out
yes,
at the beginning of the show, didn't
Winning
it?
The NIT would be blank for North Carolina.
It would be Pyrrhic for them. They'd win the battle. They would lose the war. It's a terrible embarrassment to Carolina that they're not in the NCAAs. And if they actually win the NIT, that will just show everybody over and over and over again that they weren't in the NCAAs. 50 or 60 years ago, it was great to win the NIT. I don't even know if they'll hang the banner. In 1910, they would have. I don't know about 2010.
It'll be irrelevant for them, and I think you're exactly right, Tony. Do you think secretly they wanted to go out in the first round so that people wouldn't keep noticing that they're in the wrong that they're in the wrong tournament?
Yeah. I sort of thought they wouldn't even wear blue and white for these games. They try and wear colors that they don't usually wear, I thought. That's it. The word for Levitard is bland. Time for a break. But on the way, Flip Murray sinks the most impressive 60-foot running hook shot of the night.
You nailed it. And Denard Span hits his own mom with a foul ball.
Was he trying?
Do the bland again. Do the bland again.
Bland.
It's fun, isn't it?
It's not as much fun as you might think. It's sort of obligatory for me. Happy time, boys and girls. Happy 82nd birthday, Gordie Howe. For generations of hockey fans who consider Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux to be basically young punks, Gordie Howe is the greatest hockey player who ever lived. And he still has the record for the most games in NHL history.
Fun to talk to, too. He was on our radio show, told the story about being in China and getting recognized, not understanding why people recognized him. He was wearing a Howe jersey.
Happy anniversary, Brooke and Robin Lopez. On this day in 2008, both Lopez twins declared for the 2008 NBA draft. It's worked out pretty well. Brooke is on the verge of stardom with the Nets, and Robin is going to the playoffs with the Suns.
I have no idea how good either of them are. How good can he be if they've won 10 games, Brooke? How good?
pretty good. Happy trails to Flip Murray's three-quarter court hook shot buzzer beater, because it didn't beat the buzzer and thus did not count. This, and not any dunk by Amari Stoudemire, this would have been the shot of the year had it counted.
I had no idea Flip Murray was still in the league before that highlight. Did you?
That's why they call him Flip, because he can go to half court and do that. Time to find out what we messed up, Reality.
Flip, flip, flip. Adelphia, turkey glue. I just give up with this one, I guess. Right, Tone? You win. Turkey glue. Call him whatever you want. Doesn't matter. Sonny Weems is the name of the man playing for the Toronto Raptors, not Sonny Weeks or
so
whatever
I had that
you want.
Right.
To. Yeah, went to Arkansas.
I had that right, Lebatard. What do you think?
You were surprised that you had it right. I was surprised you had it right.
Shout-outs. Who are you shouting out to tonight?
The good people at Duraku on South Beach on Lincoln Road. Best sushi anywhere in South Florida.
This is all you do is name restaurants you're about to go to.
Look how fat my face is. How do you think it got that way?
I'm going to shout out to good people, too. Good people in the Mid-Atlantic and New England states who finally this weekend are going to get a break in the weather. It's going to be warm. It's going to be beautiful. They're going to go outside in shorts, and their legs are going to look like out-of-bounds steaks. We're taking a break. There's more PTI to come, including Pete Rose and Playboy.
Back in a few minutes. Until then, let's toss it up to SportsCenter.
Good night, Canada. I hope you get a free meal tonight because of that.
Pete Rose and Playboy.
Welcome back to the PTI program. Okay, Danny, are you surprised that the NCAA is moving to change the basketball tournament, but not the BCS?
Fans complain a lot about the BCS, Tony, but what surprised me is that 93% of coaches polled by the American Football Collegiate Association said they favored the BCS. I don't think I got the acronym right there on what the association was doing the survey, but 93%, Tony, favor the way the BCS presently works because the coaches get rewarded for being in a bowl game, some irrelevant bowl game. And so if the coaches are in favor of expanding the NCAA tournament, in this case, in the BCS, they're not in favor of it, clearly.
I don't know that the coaches have all that much play in it. I'm going to quote the smartest guy I ever met in television, Don Ohlmeyer, who once told me, the answer to all your questions is money. All right? You expand the NCAA basketball tournament to 96. There's just greater revenue that comes into jobs. The bowl system, the way it is now, all you have to have is a winning record to get into a bowl game. So you can win your last game, you can keep your job, and all this money flows out of all these bowl games. If they go to a playoff, are all these bowls still going to exist, or could they dry up?
Well, maybe you eliminate some of the bowls, Tony, but don't you maximize dollars by making yourself more valuable to television?
They're pretty valuable now. I mean, look at what it goes for to telecast the championship game.
So it wouldn't be more valuable if you were just building to crescendo?
I don't know. The bottom end may not be valuable at all, and coaches like that now to get a chance at a bowl game. 1 minute left. Let's go to the big finish. Denard Span of the Twins hit a foul ball that struck his own mother in the stands. She's okay. Your thoughts?
That's awful, Tony. And it's pretty funny. Kobe wants the Lakers to play with a sense of urgency. Do you think they'll respond?
No, not until the playoffs. Man U forward Wayne Rooney will be out 2 to 4 weeks with a sprained ankle. Is that a big deal?
No, England is feeling relieved that he gets to play in the World Cup. Louisville extended Rick Pitino's contract through 2017. Are you surprised?
Should I be? Isn't he a great college basketball coach? Wouldn't you want to have him? Antoine Walker averaging 12-9 in the Puerto Rican League. Do you think he'll play in the NBA again?
God, I hope so. His quote, the best quote I've ever read in sports. Why do you take so many threes, Antoine? Because there are no fours. The Wizards and T-Wolves have both lost 16 straight. Will they snap their losing streaks tonight?
Wizards at New Orleans, at hard. Minnesota hosts Sacramento. They'll win. Last one, Pete Rose's 29-year-old girlfriend will appear in Playboy. Your analysis.
Jim Brown is 74 and married to a 34-year-old. God bless him.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Dan Lebatard. Thanks for watching. Let's go back up to Bristol.
Tito Turkoglu, go to your room.